Welcome, welcome, and welcome, everybody, to the Rob Zicari Show. Man, what a day. What a day. It is a day like no other days. Why? Oh, I'm going to tell you why. Because tomorrow's Super Tuesday. Okay? Tomorrow is Super Tuesday. And it's getting crazy out there. It really is. It's getting crazy. We're going to talk about all the crazy things. I'm sitting here trying to do two things at once. I am. I'm trying to send out a... Bear with me here. Let's see. Okay. Here we go. Hold on, everybody. See if this is going to work. Let's see if this works. I'm doing things with one hand. I'm doing things with three hands. All right, I think it worked. I had to send tweets out with one hand and run the control board with the other. Very, very, very. Very difficult, but I managed. That's what I do here. Manage. All right, so tomorrow's Super Tuesday. A lot of things going on. I don't know. Truthfully, I don't know how. And I've said this before. And I know we've heard it in politics every 4 years or 8 years or whatever cycle it is. The party heals after the rhetoric and everyone unites around one candidate, and then they go to the convention and on to the general election. I don't see this happening. I don't see this. The words... I am a loss for words. I kicked on the television. I mean, first off, this weekend was nuts. Okay, this weekend was nuts with just the insanity on the campaign trail from Trump, from Rubio, from Cruz. Just insanity. Okay, just insanity. And today, it's even more insane. Now, tomorrow's Super Tuesday, so that final push. But rather it's people coming out for Trump or for Rubio, or people coming out against Trump and against Rubio. The words are so vicious. There is absolutely no way. There's no way. Everybody gets back. I mean, seriously, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that everybody comes together in this election season. Because right now, if Trump wins the delegates, then he needs to win tomorrow. It's not going to wrap it up tomorrow. But if Trump, let's say, takes 50% of the delegates, there is absolutely no mathematical way that Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz can get the delegates needed to beat Trump. Now, they can get the delegates needed to force a brokered convention. So they could get the delegates needed to prevent Trump from getting the 1,250 delegates or whatever the hell the exact number is. Are you really going to take the nomination away from him and his voters at the convention? Are you really going to take the nomination away from him and his voters at the convention? Are you really going to say, all right, you have more delegates, you have more percentage of the vote than Rubio and Cruz, but we, the establishment, we, the old guard, don't like you. We don't like you. And we want Marco Rubio to have the nomination, so we're giving it to him. Forget the riot that will ensue at the convention. Forget that. But how do you then convince the millions and millions and millions of voters, a whole bunch of them who are first-time voters, to then come and vote for Marco Rubio in the general election? How do you do that? If they're mad at Washington, if the whole premise is they're mad at Washington, they really don't like Trump, they're just mad at Washington. Well, don't you think taking the nomination away from Trump and giving it to Rubio would really, I mean, just beyond make the people that are already mad at Washington, don't you think it would make them even, like, more mad? Has anybody thought about this? And then let me ask you this. How the hell, if Trump gets the nomination, does the establishment get behind Trump without completely? I mean, it's one thing if you're Chris Christie to say, hey, I'm supporting Trump, and for people to play clips of Christie saying Trump isn't ready to be president. You know, that was a big thing Friday. People showing clips. That was a big thing yesterday. That people showing clips of Trump making statements and Christie condemning those statements or saying, you know, that's not presidential. But they weren't people saying, I refuse to vote for Donald Trump if he is the nominee. I refuse to be part of his campaign. He is evil. He is a monster. He is the worst of the worst. I'm talking about those people. Those people who say, I will just put a write in. I will write in a different name. I will write in Jeb Bush. I'm talking about the TV show hosts, the radio show hosts, your Glenn Becks, your Michael Medveds, your conservative talk show guys who have gone out of their way to say Trump is a monster. Not that Trump isn't as good as Rubio or Cruz, but because we are getting to the point where after tomorrow, it's over. Yeah, you have the second phase. Yeah, you have the second phase where Florida and Ohio, they come into play. Let's face it, tomorrow, if Trump wins 50% of the delegates, it's over. Rubio and Cruz cannot win enough delegates to overtake Trump and actually cleanly get the nomination. They have to force a brokered convention. So then you get to that second wave. You get to that second wave. And even if Trump finishes second and third, aside from two states that are winner take all, Trump can be in the same situation that Rubio and Cruz are. Oh, pick up 10 delegates here, pick up 5 delegates there. With a lead that Trump already has, they will never get more delegates than Trump has. And then, again, you will wind up going to the convention where Trump has the most delegates. And then Rance Priebus has to go, all right, everybody, Marco Rubio is now the candidate. So Donald Trump, go F yourself. And millions of people walk out. I mean, how does Nikki Haley, how does Nikki Haley get behind Trump? How does Nikki Haley? I was watching her today. Aside from the fact that she said on the State of the Union, remember when she did her rebuttal to Obama, and it was basically Trump is bad? How did she turn around? How do these guys that not just said Rubio would be better, but have said Trump is dangerous? And when somebody says Trump is dangerous, you can't walk that back. It's impossible. When you have Glenn Beck, I mean, what if Trump gets the nomination? What does a TV show, what does Glenn Beck do? Seriously, what does someone like Glenn Beck do? A lesser extent, Mark Levin, because he hasn't been as, I hate Trump, he's evil, he's bad for everything. Yeah, to a lesser extent, Mark Levin, but there's people back. Now, granted, Beck doesn't have the audience that he used to have. I think he's got like 5,000 people that listen to him. I think he's got just a little bit more people that listen to him than listen to me. I'm on. Oh, wow. I'm sorry about that. And I'm on internet. I'm like, you know, a podcast. I can actually tune on my AM dial and listen to him. But regardless, how the hell does he walk back everything that he said about Trump? He doesn't. So what does he do? What does he do? Spend the next 6 months rallying against Trump in support of Hillary? Or does he just say, vote none of the above? I mean, what the hell's going to happen? What the hell's going to happen? And how the hell, I mean, if Trump gets the nomination, Rubio's not going to be part. Rubio's absolutely not going to be part of that convention. If Trump gets the nomination, Rubio's not going to be part of it. I mean, who the hell is going to be part of it? Rubio's not going to be part of it. Cruz isn't going to be part of it. I mean, they're not going to be part of it. It's one thing when Trump says he's a liar or he's a nasty guy. You could chalk that up to the campaign trail. You can. You could chalk that up. You could kind of put that in the same terms of Bush, Reagan, voodoo economics, you know, saying somebody's economic plan is witchcraft, is hocus pocus. Yeah. Oh, that's the same vein. It's softer than saying they're a liar, but it's in the same ballpark. But some of the stuff that Rubio is, I mean, when you're sitting there talking about this person becoming the president or nominee, and it's dangerous for the country, and the country's going to lose. And man, that now you're at a point of no return. I mean, you really are. You really are. I don't see how this gets resolved. I don't see how this gets resolved. I only see this as what I said before, a chance for our political system to finally have a third party. That's what I see. System to finally get a legitimate third party, a real third party. That's what I see. I can see the Republican Party being handed off to Trump. And the people that don't want to be part of that Republican Party with Trump creating a new party, a new name. I don't know what that name is. I was thinking the reverse. I was thinking Trump and a new name. But the only way that this is going to work is a third party emerges that is no longer the Republican Party. Trump creates a Republican Party, because how the hell do the Rubios, how the hell do the Rubios and the Bushes and the Haleys and the Tim Scotts, how the hell do they come out and support the Republican Party that Donald Trump is the nominee for? How did they do it? How did they do it? How did they do it? They all would have been better off. Listen, they all would have been better off if they really felt Trump would get blown out, would have been to sit back. Don't do scorched earth, Trump is evil game plan. Let the voting unfold. If all these states go for Trump and he gets the nomination, get behind him, work with him. If he gets blown out, he gets blown out. And then the Republican establishment can say, all of those people, we gave you what you wanted. It didn't work. We gave you what you wanted, and that plan lost. That's it. It's over. If you guys want a voice and you want a candidate, that's fine. But you will run not under the Republican platform. Now, if you want to be part of us, here's our platform. Because remember, what you guys wanted didn't work. They would have been more apt to do that. They would have gotten more out of where we are now versus where we're going, versus what could possibly happen. Because remember, ultimately, the president doesn't really control anything. Congress controls everything. You know, when you hear Cruz and when you hear Clinton, when you hear everybody talk about the Supreme Court, listen. Right now you have a Congress that is so divided that one side doesn't have the power over the other. The rules that they've all set up, And I'm talking about the filibuster rules that aren't even in the Constitution, but the rules that they all set up and they all follow basically prevents one side from getting anything done. So rather it's Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders in the White House, and they nominate a candidate, they nominate a Supreme Court justice that is the, I don't, you know, Ben from Ben and Jerry's, he'll never get through because you need 60 votes. You need 60 votes. Okay? You need 60 votes. And he's never going to get 60 votes. Never, ever going to get 60 votes. And vice versa. You could have President Trump, or you could have President Cruz, or President Rubio. And if they nominate another Antonin Scalia, the Democrats will never let it through because the Republicans need 60 votes, and they're not going to get 60 votes. They're at 54 or 55. I think it's 54. They're never going to get it. They're never, ever going to get it. It's just never going to happen. And in this election cycle, there's, what, 8 seats up for grabs? I think there's 8 seats, either 7 or 8 seats. And rather it's Trump or rather it's Rubio. The notion that if Trump is the nominee, Republicans are going to lose all those seats. No, they're not. They're not. Okay? They're not. Just because Trump is the nominee, it doesn't guarantee that there's going to be this shift when it comes to Senate seats that are in purple states. Please. Okay? But please. So, regardless, you're going to have a divided Senate, a divided House, and nothing's going to get through. Absolutely nothing is going to get through. So Republicans, or I should say the establishment, would have been better off by just sitting back going, all right, instead of this scorched earth philosophy, let's just sit back. If we have to wait another 4 years because we're so sure that if Trump gets the nomination, he's going to lose, then that's what we do. But we're in a no-win situation if we think we're going to contest this. We're going to go to the convention and contest it. It's a no-win situation. It's a absolute no-win situation. Absolute no-win situation. That's a fact. That is a fact. It's a no-win situation. I mean, this philosophy, this strategy guarantees nothing. It guarantees nothing. And when you hear them say, we'll get killed in a general election, we'll get killed in a general election, you don't know that. You don't know that. Anything can happen in general election. You got months and months and months of politicking and changing people's minds. You don't know. But you go to a brokered convention, you're 100% going to lose. You're not going to keep the voters who were going for Trump, who were going 25, 30,000 strong in Alabama and Tennessee. You're not going to keep them by taking away their vote, throwing it away, and giving it to Marco Rubio. It's not going to happen. And the establishment is cuckoo if they think the people don't care. care what the vessel is. They're just mad. They're nuts. They're absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. If it wasn't for it, let's put it this way. Ted Cruz is the vessel. Ted Cruz is just as angry and just, well, if it's all about the message and it doesn't matter who the vessel is, why didn't they get behind Ted Cruz? Why didn't they get behind Ted Cruz? It's more than just people angry. It's a lot more. So I don't know. I don't know how this is going to play out. And especially tomorrow, if Trump wins 50% of those delegates and everybody still carries on and everybody still acts as if they can win, it's insane. If Marco Rubio won New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina, and we were going into tomorrow, and he was up in some states by double digits in 9 of the 11 Super Tuesday states, it'd be done. This would all be academic. It really would be. It would be all academic. Everybody would be talking about the general election for the Republicans shifting into high gear Wednesday. They would be saying tomorrow after Rubio locks it up, he'll probably announce Nikki Haley as his VP the following week, and they will get into high gear. But because it's Trump, we're going through what we're going through. If tomorrow is big for Trump, Rubio and Cruz have absolutely no shot. Absolutely no shot. No shot. Even in a winner-take-all state of Florida, giving Rubio all those delegates, if they go into that phase in, what, a week and a half? If they go into that phase and Rubio is where he is, if Rubio is where he is in delegate count after tomorrow and he gets beaten badly and he's hundred phase, and only state that Rubio's could possibly win in Florida, and if you add those delegates up and say, okay, well, Rubio will win 100 delegates for Florida, whatever the hell it is. But Trump's going to wind up picking up 300 delegates in the rest of the states. Again, there's just no possible way for the math to work. And to keep staying in, to get to a broker convention, to then lose the millions of people that are voting for Trump, because you're going to give it to the guy that got less votes, it's not going to happen. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to go over a story that the media has ignored. They really have. They've ignored the dot connecting. And when I listen to Marco Rubio say at rallies, listen, if Trump gets the nomination, the media is going to go after. They're gonna attack Donald Trump on his past dealings I'm just trying to think of all, in the last 3 days, this scorched earth, okay? This scorched earth campaign. This scorched earth campaign disavowing David Duke. He didn't disavow David Duke strongly enough today, but he did it a week ago. He retweeted a Mussolini tweet that was tweeted to him by a Gawker account, and he retweeted the tweet. See, all of this stuff. I mean, it's getting out of hand. It really is. And Rubio's depressed. They're coming at him. They're saving this stuff until he gets nomination. And then they, okay. I want to talk about the press ignoring. When we come back, we're going to discuss. I want to go over real quick. Well, it won't be real quick, but I want to connect some dots. And that's this story about Marco Rubio and his gay past. I know you probably are going, what? We were told that's just some white supremacist. Everything is white supremacist. That's what I love. Everything is white supremacist. Everything is white supremacist. I go and I look to find things where people go, that's white supremacist site. That's a this site. That's a this site. White supremacist. You know what white supremacist is to me? American History X. Okay? That to me is white supremacist. That to me is like neo-Nazi crazy stuff. That's the Marco Rubio gay past. That's just a rumor fabricated by white supremacist sites. And then I actually did some research. I did. I look at. Imagine, I'm doing some journalism, right? It's what it's reporting. I'm trying to be a capper. I'm trying to be a Casey Hunt. Not Mike Hunt, but Casey Hunt, and I'm doing some journalism and connecting some dots. So I want to connect the dots. So when Rubio says, "Oh, press, they're just gonna go after Trump. They're gonna bring up students from Trump U who were duped," and you watch, and it's funny because that's what Rubio said he's gonna do. I remember Rubio a couple days ago said he was going to be bringing up all these students who were duped at Trump U. And now he's saying the Democrats are going to bring these students. He's not. Now he's not. I mean, if there was all these students, if there was these 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people that were duped and they got effed over, wouldn't you think they would be standing on stage with Rubio today instead of Rubio talking about Trump and the size of his genitals? And I mean, seriously, wouldn't you think Rubio would have these students on stage with him? He said they were going to be on stage with him. Now they're not on stage with them. Now they're not on stage. Now the Democrats are going to go. Because the Democrats, they're going to go after Trump. They're going to do what the media isn't doing now because they're saving. They're saving. They're not saving anything. The media has... Listen, when you have the Washington Post and the New York Post and the New York Times and Huffington Post, when you have Gawker Gawker, think about it. Gawker set up a fake account a year ago. They set up a fake Twitter account to try to get Donald Trump to retweet fascist statements. And if you read the fascist statement from Mussolini, that the clickbait headlines are saying, I would never have known it was. I thought it was a good. It was a post from a philosopher. Seriously, I would never have known. I would never have known it was a Mussolini tweet. I would never have known. Well, not a Mussolini tweet, like from Mussolini himself, because Mussolini is dead. But I would never have thought it was a statement that Mussolini said that was tweeted. Okay, I would never in a million years. Okay, I would never in a million years thought that, because it didn't say anything like, "Oh, I'm gonna, kill Americans. I want to, burn Jews with my good buddy Hitler." It didn't say anything. It said, "It is better to live one day as a lion than 100 years as a sheep." Yeah, that's a great quote. I would never have known that. Listen, if the argument is, well, Donald Trump should be smart, he should know all things Mussolini, all things Hitler, all things. I don't know. I mean, Jesus. I would never have said, "Oh, it's better to live one day as a lion and 100 years as a sheep." That's Mussolini. That is a fascist dictator who joined forces with Adolf Hitler to rule the world. Oh, that's bad. I would have written that. I would have, in my youth, just because I'm done getting tattoos, I would have tattooed that. I would have tattooed that on my arm next to my extreme. But I mean, how I would never have known that was a fascist dictator statement. So when you talk about the media saving all of this ammo to unload on Trump once he's the nominee, because they'll be in cahoots with Hillary Clinton, is ludicrous. It's absolutely. When you have a website, when you have a media outlet, Gawker, okay, and you know all of these sites are like back-ended Democrat, they're back-ended in an affiliation somehow with liberals, with Democrats. They are rather the BuzzFeeds. Or the Gawk, like they all somehow get these huge infusions of cash from investment bankers or other divisions of liberal media. Rather, it's NBC or it's Sam Habe. So it's always somehow affiliated with a liberal think tank, somehow. Rather, it's on paper or it's just through funding, hedge funds or whatever. So you actually have a website, Gawker, creating accounts and tweeting to Donald Trump, hoping that he retweets something and then they can make a story that Donald Trump supports white supremacists. He supports fascists. He supports, dictators. And Rubio's got the audacity. He's got the audacity to say, "Oh well, no. The media hasn't gone after Donald Trump. You want to start with the media not going after somebody? The media hasn't gone after Marco Rubio for an obvious gay past." I mean, obvious. I'm going to connect the dots when we come back. And this isn't a white supremacist site. My show is not a white supremacist show. I'm not a big white supremacist. I'm not a big Ku Klux Klan supporter. I'm just connecting the dots. I'm connecting the dots and doing a smidgen of research. A smidgen of research that other people have already researched and came up with dot connecting facts. And the media hasn't talked about it, considering that it was already in the Washington Post. So the Washington Post, when Marco Rubio goes, oh, they're going to just bring up stuff that they haven't brought up on Trump. That's what, listen, if you want to talk about stuff that they haven't brought up, the Marco Rubio gay crew past is something that the media haven't brought up. And I know they got to know the same stuff that I know. So when we come back, we're going to talk about it. So don't go away. All right, we'll be right back in 2 minutes. 2 effing minutes. Don't go anywhere. Well, you could go pee if you got to pee. Okay, go cough if you got to cough. Go do what you got to do, but just come back. All right, just come back. All right, it's the Rob Zicari Show. You're here on the Rob Zicari Network, and this isn't a golden microphone. It's a silver microphone that's glued down to my desk with Gorilla Tape. Be right back.